to St. John chapter 11. Got a couple of verses that we wanted to share with you. St. John chapter 11. And we're going to be reading verses 19 through 28. We've been talking about strength, and rather than listing what strength we need, we've been talking about circumstances that we are facing sometimes that will put us in the place where we need strength. We need God to help us and guide us. St. John chapter 11, verses 19 through 28. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Wow, what a greeting. "But now I know, even now, whatever you will ask of God, God will give it to you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother shall rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." And when she had said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, "The Master has come and is calling for you." Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. God, we thank you again for this amazing day that you've given. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us to rise up out of our beds and to make our way to the house of faith. Pray that now you would give us listening ears and a receptive heart, that all that you do and would say to us, we would receive it, that we might apply it in our lives. I pray that as always, Lord, you give us wisdom and understanding. Help us that we might be doers of your word. And Lord, that we might be changed by what we hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to speak with you just a few minutes on the subject, Is it too late? Is it too late? If you don't mind, look at somebody. And if you want to wave at them, say, "Is it too late?" You know, we often think that time has expired on us when our expectations are not met and we reach a certain date. We ask the question, is it too late? One of the problems that arises when we're dealing with crisis is that it festers doubt and worry and fear. Those factors begin to come in and torment us. And then we ask ourselves, I'm wondering, has time run out on me? Is it too late? There are a lot of people battling with things, including believers. Don't think that because you trust in God, that somehow that's going to now cause you to be exempt from problems in life. We too face difficulties. And our issue all of the time is not so much with the problem, but with finding the solution to the problem. I don't know if some of you all are like me. You've dealt with trouble and struggle so long, you've kind of got used to it. But you've got to be reminded that God has a plan for your life, and that plan, even though he is working it out through your struggles, you got to be reminded not to give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't say that there's no hope. And certainly, don't ask the question whether or not it's too late. Sometimes we go to the doctor and we find out that there's a condition that the doctor said, I can't do anything about this. But there is another physician that we have. His name is Jesus. He can do something about it. Never should we resign to the fact that we're saying within ourselves, oh, it must be too late. A lot of single people, can I go down that street? A lot of single people are asking themselves, is it too late for me to find somebody? Well, let me just put two scenarios out there before you. One, don't rush to find just anybody. Because after you find anybody, you might find out that you were satisfied having nobody. Don't rush. Take your time. Take your time. This is a serious thing. It's a serious thing. But people are asking, is it too late? Is it too late for things to happen? The old hymn, Never Alone, comes to mind. The lyrics come from someone called Anonymous. But the words are truly something that we can all relate to. Hear the words of that hymn. I've seen the lightning flash and heard the thunder roll. I felt sin's breakers dash, which tried to conquer my soul. I heard the voice of my Savior. He bids me still fight on. He promised never to leave me. No, never alone. The second verse is also profound. It says, the world's fierce winds are blowing, temptations sharp and keen. But I have the peace in knowing that my Savior stands between. He stands to shield me from danger when all my friends are gone. He promised never to leave me. No, never alone. Yet as soon as we get the words of those hymns out of our mouth and we've said it, then we tell ourselves, I'm alone again. Naturally, I'm alone again. Naturally. But the fact is, you're not alone. Can I bring in my grandma's theology for just a few minutes? He may not come when you want him. Are y'all going to talk back? But he's always on time. Always on time. Always providing an answer and always providing a way out. Mary and Martha felt that they were alone as they were struggling to deal with the death of Lazarus, their brother. To many of us in our culture, that may not have meant anything, but Lazarus, being the male in the family, was probably the breadwinner. He was probably the one responsible for taking care of them because they were two single women and they needed that support. And now they've lost that. But here's the kicker. They had sent word to Jesus and said to Jesus while he was away and out of town, they said to Jesus, our brother is sick. And they put in the post note, the one you love. In other words, it's an emergency. We're calling 911. And we want you to get here in a hurry with the sirens and the lights on. We want you, Jesus, to get in a hurry. But when Jesus didn't show up, when there were no sirens sounding or lights blinking, matter of fact, things got worse. Lazarus died. The disciples were all wondering, what are we going to do now? It's too late. You see, Martha, as she comes out and she greets Jesus, she didn't even say, hello, master, hello, teacher. She said, can I act this thing out? She points her finger at him and said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. In those words, she's echoing the sentiments of her heart, which says, it's too late. I'm glad you're here for moral support, but we don't expect anything to happen right now because my brother's gone. But if you'd been here, then maybe something could have been. And she kind of leaves the door open a little bit because she says this word, even now. So you see, sometimes when you are in your doubtful mood, the Holy Spirit begins to prompt you and say, wait a minute, you don't know what you're talking about. Something inside of her said, now, even now, and that's what you got to do. When you're facing your impossibilities, when you're saying to yourself, it's too late, you got to say, even now. You got to say, wait a minute. You got to say, hold up. I might be looking at this in the flesh, but I need to look at it in the spirit. I need to know that it is no secret what God can do. Do I have a witness? What he's done for others, he'll do the same for you. I'm so glad that God doesn't wear a watch. I'm so glad that even though Rolex is a good thing to wear, God doesn't wear Rolex. He made time, so he doesn't need to wear time to be reminded by time what he needs to do. He's God all by himself. Amen. I said the other Sunday, I feel like an old preacher. Then I found out I am an old preacher. Martha said, Lord, if you'd been here, our brother would not have died. And so the point I want to share with you, a couple of things, and then I'm going to prepare for closing. But the point I want to make at this point is that in your life, there will be some challenges that you can't handle. But because you can't handle it doesn't mean that God can't handle it. And because God does not put on the calendar your time, he puts his own time on such a date, I'm going to visit you. Can I talk for a minute? Told Abraham, I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to bless your seed that they will inhabit this land. Abraham had to wait because God was not on his calendar. He was on God's calendar. What you've got to do is stop saying in January, in February, in March, and then when things go past them, you go on and skip to the August and September, and when God doesn't show up, amen, you get frustrated. Have y'all been there? I've been there. I've had a set time that I wanted God to do something. When the time passed, then we say, well, maybe I didn't pray right. You prayed right. You just didn't wait right. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. So we discover some things about this, and I want to share three couple things with you. Very quickly, the problems that we face when we say that we're on what we call deadlines. I want to emphasize the word deadlines. Number one, our problematic thinking involves death itself. We think that death is final. Write that down. You think that death is final. Death in your finances, death in your marriage, death in family member. Matter of fact, we lost a family member to COVID. Here's the thing. Young person, I'm not going to get vaccinated because it might cause some problems with my health later on. Well, guess what? They ain't got no health now. They're gone. Listen, folks, I didn't come to preach vaccine, amen. Please don't get me wrong, but I'm going to put a point in there. You're going to die from something anyway. You don't need to die early. Are y'all still here? Plus, you need to help us old folks out because we catch infection real fast. That's all I'm going to say about that. But other people believe that death is final. Once that happens, it cannot be reversed. Hebrews tells us that many people are tormented by the thought of death. When you say, well, we're going to talk about this and we're going to talk about that. Oh, I don't want to hear about that. Let me tell you something. Death for me is going to be good. Why? Because I signed up with a man that told me, amen, that there's another place in his Father's house. Amen. There are many mansions. I know where I'm going when I leave here. Amen, amen somebody. I'm going to put a little waving hands on my casket. Bye-bye. I'll see y'all later. But we believe people are tormented by the belief and the thinking that death is final. Martha and Mary were saying that. Both of them, when they greeted Jesus, they said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But they didn't know that the death of Lazarus was for the glory of God. Second problem that people have, questioning God's delay. Write that down. Questioning God's delay. Lord, when you will save my children? When he gets ready. Lord, when you gonna move and show up in my finances? Well, let me tell you something. You can do a couple of things about that. You might be able to get a better job. That's just want to throw that in there. But people question God. They question, Lord, do you know what you're doing? Yeah, of course he knows what he's doing. And he knows what he's doing in your life. God's delay does not mean God's denial. The fact that he delays something means that he's preparing it so much so that when you do get it, not only will it be good, but you are prepared to receive it. Are y'all still here? Abraham had to wait 25 years before he saw his first offspring. 25 years, and yet God moved in his own time. God's delay is often a time for us to prepare. It's often a time for us to get ready. Here's a verse that we sometimes use when we say, well, we're waiting on the Lord. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. We forget all about reading the first part of that verse. Do you know what the first part of that verse in Psalm 30 and verse 5 says? For his anger endures but a moment, in his favor is life. And then it says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Sometimes God's delay is a way of not disciplining us to the point of punishing us, but disciplining us so that we can receive what God has prepared for us. Are y'all still here? Listen, if you're not ready for the blessing, why would God throw it away on you and you ain't ready? Why would God say, I'm going to give you something and you can't handle it? It's like putting a two-year-old in a sports car. They can't drive that car. Some things God has to prepare for you. But now, let me tell you this. When he does get ready, you better be ready. Are y'all in the building? So that's the problem that we face many times. We think that death is final. We are not understanding what is God's delay. But I can tell you one thing, even though he causes you to wait, he's never late. Y'all missed that. You missed your shout on that one. Third thing that we do, the problem that we have, is that we limit God to time. We limit God to time. Now listen very carefully to what Jesus said to Martha. Martha said to him, by this time, Lord, you know, by this time now, it's too late and there's nothing you can do about it. When Jesus commanded that they roll away the stone, he said, by this time, Lord, he stinks. He stinks. But the problem is you got stinking thinking in your mind. Your thinking about God, which limits him, is now saying you can do this, but you can't do that. You can feed 5,000, but you can't take care of my family. Lord, you can work miracles and open the eyes of the blind, but you can't open my eyes so that I can see. You limit God to time and you limit God to circumstance. What I call every morning you get up, you pray, oh Lord, help me deal with my problem. When are you going to pray, Lord, you deal with my problem and show me what I need to do? Are y'all still here? One songwriter said, we dance with circumstances and then end up losing our step because we cannot figure out life. You cannot develop a calendar, what I call calendar-oriented faith, and then expect God to meet every moment on your time by your schedule and the way you want him to do it, because God is the sovereign Lord of all. Jesus said, I want you to know something. Lazarus died for one reason, not because death took him. Lazarus died for the glory of God, that the Son of God should be glorified. Jesus looked at Martha and told her to roll away the stone, or command the others to roll away the stone. She made excuses. But then this is the same Martha that said, yes, Lord, I believe that you're the Christ. Same Martha a few minutes earlier. Now she's doubting. Now she's saying what I don't know. Now she's supposing that it's too late. But if you just put it in the hands of God, I want you to do that before you leave this building today. I want you to do that before you tune us off and sign off on the online. I want you to do that if you're in the parking lot. Do not say, Lord, you got to do it right now. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to expect you to move in your own way and in your own time. Will you do that? Release it to God. Release it to God. One of the things that we do when we prepare people for burial, we commit their spirits unto the Lord. We commit their body to the ground, but their spirit unto God. Why? Because death is not final. We're saying that there's a continuation in this thing. And the Lord is going to bless all of us to move into that unknown territory on the other side of what we call eternity. But here's the proof. Here's the thing. You are in eternity now. As a matter of fact, time is this little microcosm of what we call time. And all of us are moving now. Those of us who are living, we're in this time element, kind of like in a capsule. We're learning things about God. We're getting used to his plan. But all around the time is eternity. Eternity is all around. As a matter of fact, you possess it now if you have Christ in your life. You don't possess eternity when you leave here. You've got it now. Whenever you say Jesus, you've got eternity. And that's what Jesus was saying to Martha. I am the resurrection. I'm not bringing the resurrection. I'm not going to teach you about the resurrection. Look at me and you'll see the resurrection and the life. Was that too deep for you? Read it. It's in your Bible. That's what I said to God. I said, Lord, this is deep. I got to come up for air. But it's in your Bible. Jesus never believes that. Jesus wants you to believe that his power is unlimited. I'm going to give you three things before we close today. Three things. In answer to these problems, we need to also recognize that Jesus Christ is our solution. He is our solution. And as we said to you before, we're surrounded by time, and because you're surrounded by time, you're also surrounded by death. But guess what surrounds death? God. Boy, you missed that one. Wow. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. God is with you. And he promises never to leave you nor forsake you. Three quick things. It's never too late. Say this with me. It's never too late. When the bombs were falling over Great Britain, and the people felt that they were in perilous times, they felt like that they could not go on, Winston Churchill stood up and said, we will never, never, never give up. And I'm telling you today, it's never, never too late for God. God is always on the throne. Satan tried to take it one time, and he got kicked out of heaven. And there hadn't been any threats since then. Are y'all still here? God says to us in Isaiah chapters 42 through 45, he says, I am God. I don't know about any other. If it was, I would have heard about him and I would have put an end to it. Are y'all still in the building? He's God all by himself. He does whatever he wants to, but whatever he does it in love. You'll never have anyone who'll love you more than God Almighty. You really need to get to know him. You need to embrace him. You need to begin to love him the way he loves you. As a matter of fact, we respond to his love because he first loved us. Are y'all still here? Three quick points I want to give to you. Number one, if you're going to avoid life's deadlines, thinking that death is final, thinking that God's delay means his denial, thinking that you're missing out on eternity, if you're going to avoid those life deadlines, you got to believe three things. Number one, God's word always prevails. Amen. Say that with me. God's word, always prevail. John 11, 25, Jesus said in that verse, he said, now you might be looking at it one way, But here's the way I'm seeing it, because I am. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. God's word always prevailed. Now, he made the statement. He spoke the truth to Martha. But when he got in front of the grave, he put it into action. I'm here to tell you, God will make you a promise, but then on the day of the promise for it to be fulfilled, God will put it into action. What you've got to do now is just embrace the promise. If he said, I'm the resurrection, that means you're going to rise again. I'm here to preach to somebody. You're going to rise up from your despondency. You're going to rise up from your sadness. You're going to rise up over the situation, and you're going to say to yourself, I'm more than a conqueror because he is the I am. Man, I feel like preaching today. God's word always prevails. If he said it, he can do it. If he said it, he can perform it. Second thing that we've got to learn if we're going to find ourselves getting above life's deadlines, second thing that we've got to learn, not only that God's word prevail, but we've also got to say that Jesus is the author of eternal life and life. Listen to what he says. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Then what kind of life are you trying to live? I'm trying to live a good life. What about you? You come to church because you want to live a good life. You want to live a decent life. And one of the things that happens to us is this thing called sin. Sin is not only a moral transgression and a spiritual transgression against God's law. Sin binds you. Sin ties you down so that you can't live the life that God wants you to live. Are y'all still here? The wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life. What Jesus came to do in your life and in my life is to give us what we call the Zoe, the life of God, the life that we can now live, the life when we can get up in the morning and say, you know what, I ain't gonna doubt God today. I'm not gonna think that he can't do it. As a matter of fact, he brought me this far. Y'all mighty quiet. I'm not gonna have these doubts in my mind to think that I'm resigned to live this kind of life. By the way, somebody might be waking up and tuning in online, and you might have a hangover. You might be saying to yourself, man, I got to stop this. I got to stop this, and I can't keep living like this. If that's you today, then welcome to the life in God. Welcome to the life in Christ. He wants you to live on this planet for the glory of God. Jesus said, this thing will be done. Why? For my glory. So if I'm here in this world, and I'm alive to give God glory, I can't do it with my life all messed up, right? At some point, God is going to have to come into my life, and he's going to have to raise me up from whatever I'm under. Did I miss somebody? Y'all mighty quiet. I'm telling you, you can hear a pin drop in here. The point is this. You and I are on this earth and living in this life, not just to live it the way we choose it, but to live it for the glory of God. Watch this. Watch this. Lazarus, before Jesus got to the tomb, he was wrapped in bandages, laid in the tomb. Martha said, Lord, by now he stinks. He's beginning to decompose. And sometimes you feel that way about your life situation. Things just beginning to just fall all apart. But hang in there. Why? Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. Jesus said three words. I know Aretha Franklin said he called him three times. He had to call him three times. He said three words. Lazarus, which meant I don't want everybody to get up. Lazarus, yes, Lazarus, come forth. Now, imagine this man all in bandages. He's bandaged from head to toe. He had to literally get up from a laying down position and jump to the edge of the tomb and said, Lord, I can't say anything, but I can stand here. Are y'all listening to me today? I would speak, but I can't speak, but I can show up. Has God ever moved in your life where you couldn't say anything about it right then and right there? Are y'all still here? But he brought me out of the miry clay. He brought me out of a bad situation. Not only did he bring me out, but he brought me through. Somebody got a testimony today. I had to come out the long way. Are y'all still here? In the country, we used to have these things called ruts. You get in a rut. And the easiest way to get out of a rut is to try to get through the side of it. And that's the way some of you all do with your problem. You try to get through the side of it, but then you're right back in it. And you're still spinning. But as soon as you get someone either in front of you or behind you to pull you through, are y'all still here? I know things don't look good right now, but God is at the end of it, so I'm going to get you out of this. I'm going to pull you out, and you're going to make it over. Are y'all still here? Growing up in the country, we were so glad to get out of that rut because a lot of time after you had, we didn't have tractors or anything else. We had to push. And if you imagine a car spinning, it's going to get mud all over you. Miss Kaplan, know what I'm talking about. And you're going to look a mess, but you're so glad to get out of it. That's why church folk, you can't be all uppity when somebody show up at your church and they don't look this fine and polished like you do. They might come in all messed up, but they'll tell you, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I had to get out of. But the Lord brought me a mighty long way. God is such an awesome God. Lazarus came out of the grave. Long story short, Jesus raised him. And then he said to them, loose him and let him go, which means just let him go. Don't be keeping him bound by your religiosity. Let him go to be Lazarus because I've called him. Now, here's the point. Don't confuse Lazarus back to life with the eternal life. All right? Because Jesus had not risen at that point, which meant, Lazarus, I'm calling you back to this life, but I'm not calling you into eternity. And don't think, well, did Lazarus die? Yeah, he died again. But guess what? He got raised again because he's trusting in Christ as Lord and Savior. Last point. I'm out of here. God's word always prevails. Jesus is the author of eternal salvation. But then Jesus said it's never too late because Jesus' glory demonstrates God's plan never fails. Say that with me. God's plan never fails. You may not realize this, but God has a plan for every one of our lives. Here's the point I want to make with this. I'm going to take you out of John and over to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to take you to Romans 8 and verse 28. And we know, I hope you know it, and we know all things. What does all mean? I looked it up in the dictionary. Reverend Givens had told us all is all. That's all mean. I looked up in the definition in the dictionary, and it says all means everything. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. What did I tell you? Jesus' glory demonstrates that God's plan never fails. When Jesus got before that tomb, now he has to put in action what he said about himself. I am the resurrection. Now Jesus puts it into action. And he speaks to Lazarus. And Lazarus comes out of it. Now, why did I bring you to Romans 8:28? Because right now, some of you feel like, okay, it's too late because I got this in my life. We know that all things, including whatever it is that you said this is. I ain't want to be in your business. Amen. I don't want to know what you're going through, but God knows what you're going through. Number one, I don't want to know because I got my own problem. Me carrying around your problem, even if it was the gossip about it, I'm still having a problem handling myself. Are y'all still here? People say, well, I don't mean to talk about nobody, but we need to put them folks on the prayer list. They got this problem. Y'all got mighty quiet in here. I'm preaching now. I'm pastoring now. Amen. We ain't gossiping. Yeah, you gossiping. Trying to put a spiritual label on it. Just like somebody take an old can and write something else on it. It's still the old can. What was I about to say? We know that all things work together for good. You are for the glory of God. Jesus didn't just say, I'm the resurrection, and left it at that. I'm the resurrection to Lazarus. I'm the resurrection to Martha. I'm the resurrection to Mary. I'm your resurrection. A lot of things this week is going to try to kill your joy. A lot of things are going to come your way. It's going to try to steal your health, your finances, and everything else. The enemy, he wants to take everything. Anything that looks like a gift from God to you, the devil wants to take it away from you. But we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. You got to know that this week. And you got to know that whatever situation you're facing, God is able to raise you back up. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of people that if we had time, they could give a testimony where I was down. And I thought I didn't have a chance. But God raised me back up. God lifted me. God brought me out. Never let the devil steal your joy. The Lord might allow certain things to happen in your life, but never let anything to separate you from God, because that's the other part of Romans chapter 8. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Believe that whatever you're going through, it demonstrates that God has a perfect plan. Now, here's the point. When all of us stand before God in glory, we're going to have something to shout about. You're going to have something to cry about, but you're also going to have something to shout about. Lord, you brought me through. Lord, you brought me out. Lord, you raised me, and now I'm here. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you again for your love and grace. We thank you for your power. Thank you, Lord, that the world does not give the last answer. You do. Thank you that it's never too late, because it's always in your hands. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to give the invitation. If there be one today, whether outside, online, or in here, we invite you to surrender all to Christ, because he's our Lord and he's our Savior. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters he lifted me, now say, am I. Oh, it was love lifted me. Oh, it was love. Oh, it was love. Thank God it was love. Jesus found me one day in his love. When nothing else, I know love lifted me. Here's the verse I gotta say, I'm sitting down. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saved. He will lift you by his love out of the angry way. Now here's what he does. He's the master of the sea. Billows his will obey. He your Savior wants to be. be saved today. Oh, it was. Come on, testify. Come on, testify. Oh, it was. Oh, when nothing else. Oh, it was love. When I was lost in my sin, love. I'm so glad about it. He raised me. Oh, and when. Hallelujah. Brother Joe's going to come and dismiss us in prayer. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. Can anybody say love lifted me? Oh, when nothing else could help. I don't know about you, but one Thursday God's love. Thank God Almighty is love. Oh, when nothing else. It lifted me.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Father, we are so grateful that thou hast given us a message today, a message that will illuminate our hearts, transform our minds. So as we walk out of this sanctuary, Lord, we pray that we will go out and share it with someone, because it is the mission that you have given to us. We love you today. We praise you and we ask, oh God, that you dismiss us with thy blessing, so that we, oh God, as believers, can demonstrate your power in our lives, so that your spirit can be manifested in our lives, and that others will know and will see that we have been with Jesus. Thank you for the message today, and thank you for your manservant for a wonderful message. We pray for him and his family. Thank you for this privilege, we pray in Jesus' name.